Joining me now is Bettina Hannigan from the Florence Area Chamber of Commerce, President and CEO. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous.
Good, good. I was watching the city council meeting the other week, and they were talking about the banner program and trying to get this off the ground. This is what people probably do or may not know. This is a chamber. This is a chamber push. This is not a city of Florence push. You just need the city's kind of support, right?
Absolutely. What happened is that the Central Lincoln PUD needed to have to make the relationship with the city in order for us to use the power poles. So it ended up being a relationship with Central Lincoln and the city and the chamber. So the contract with the PUD will be with the three of us. The contract is with the city, and then the chamber is the fulfillment.
Right.
And so the chamber will be doing this as part of our tourism revenue.
Right. And we've seen that people can see on the city and the chamber's website some of the examples of what kind of you're looking for to do that. What made you decide to put it out to the folks? To is it just because you wanted to put some money in somebody's pocket? What was the reason behind that?
I think that we wanted to support the artist, you know, and we want to have that expression of that this is a special program. We're not just going to go to a banner site on the internet and pick out a banner. We really wanted this to be reflective of our community and of, you know, the love that we have here and our passion for the arts. So when people come through, they're going to see something that's creative and different. Each campaign.
Florence specific, maybe? Or it doesn't have to be?
It doesn't have to be. So the call has gone out pretty much statewide. And the banners will have six different banners. So each campaign, right now we're launching with a spring-summer campaign, and then we'll have a fall-winter campaign. And each campaign will consist of six banners. Shop, Eat, Stay, Play, Oregon's Coastal Playground, and Florence. And so we want those campaigns to be by the same artist so that it's the art theme is consistent. And so we're pretty excited about it. There'll be different size banners. The banners that are on the revision poles, the new light poles that are down from the bridge to 126, are bigger banners. There are existing brackets that came with those poles that the city ordered when they put them up. So those banners will be significantly bigger than the other banners that we'll be installing on the power poles. And we'll be going up to Fred Meyer's, and then we'll be going up 126 a ways, and they'll be going down Quint Street and also be at the casino.
So it won't just be in the revision area.
Oh, no, this is a big circle. This is a bigger circle concept.
Right, right.
So, you know, most of the people who listen and know me know my story about the making the circle bigger. And so this is part of that, where we're bringing the whole community inside the circle. And
because from time to time, you get feedback, I'm sure, at the chamber. Well, you know, Florence is more than just Bay Street. Florence is more than just Revision Florence area. You probably get comments.
We've
like
been
that.
Getting that for, yes, since I'm sure before I came along. My story, and I'll just repeat it, is, you know, my best friend's first mother-in-law was a Southern Belle from Kentucky, and she was a very wise, wonderful woman, and she married a man that had children from two different families. And so when she got together, there was one circle over here and one circle over here, and she felt like she was standing outside the circle looking in. And by the time I met her, there was only one circle. So I said to her, what did you do? And she said, oh, I just drew the circle bigger and drew myself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's been my mantra since I've had this position for 5 years now, is making that circle bigger and having everybody in the circle together. So the port, the city, our school system, our nonprofits, the casino,
hospital,
uptown, old town, downtown. Mm-hmm. And so this is part of that vision of bringing the community together for this this project. And we can do it with our tourism revenue. And we're going to be having the tourism-themed banners, and we're going to get some of those 4 million cars that drive up and down Highway 101 to slow down and stop and spend.
And that does happen on a regular basis. I mean, that's something that we have good here, but there's the addition of getting those people that maybe don't stop.
There's a lot of people that come through Florence that never even knew they were in Florence.
I find that hard to believe. I can see that for some towns, you know, the one-stop light blinking on and off, you know, and they're, oh, they passed it, they missed it. But it seems like, you know,
we get a lot of that when people come into the visitor center, and then they'll say, well, what's there to do around here? And we, you know, we're kind of like, well, what do you want to do? Well, we want to, you know, we're looking for chatter. Well, you know, you might want to go down to Bay Street, and, you know, these are different. Bay Street, what's Bay Street?
Right.
And then once they get into the Old Town area, then, you know, then they're like, they're captured with the jewel that we have on that our Bay Street is. And then hopefully we can continue to get them around town.
So an artist that might be interested in submitting work, what is the process for them to do that? Especially if we have a local artist, what's the best way for them to?
If FlorenceChamber.com, underneath the events tab, there's a line there that says call to artists, and they can download all of the details and the design requirements there. And then once they have created their campaigns, they can submit them also through that same page on the website. So they can submit their artwork and their bio and their, you know, their information and a little bit about why they created what they created, you know. So, and then what will happen once that deadline comes, will the BFF committee, the Beautification for Florence committee, will take a look at them. They'll make their suggestions of what they think is the best campaign. Then those will go to the marketing committee, because this is technically tourism money that we're spending. Now, and a lot of people may not know this, the TRT, the room tax that is collected from our hotel. So say, for instance, somebody spends $100 a night at a hotel. $4 goes to the city of Florence if they're inside the city limits. And out of that $4, 40% of that $4 comes to the chamber to do tourism marketing. The other 60% of that $4 goes towards supporting the events center. These are restricted funds. These funds cannot be used to repair potholes or take care of the homeless or anything else. They have to be used for tourism development. So we have a marketing committee that's part of the chamber that consists of the Three Rivers Casino, Best Western, Coast Radio is one of our members, Siuslaw News. There's probably about 8. We have Travel Lane County on there, Oregon Coast Visitors Association. So we all collaborate together on how best to use these marketing funds to support our tourism industry. So the BFF committee will make their recommendations. Then it'll go to the marketing committee, and they will review it and make their recommendation. And then it will go to the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, who will consider that. And then they will make the decision. So it's a little bit complicated, but it's got to go through the proper process.
The artist doesn't have to worry about that.
Not the artist's problem.
And again, these are going to change on a regular basis.
Because
I'm not sure if I understood you. The same artist is going to be the whole season, or is it just going to be one artist per run?
So we'll have a spring summer campaign,
right,
which will consist of 6 banners. That will be one artist. And then we'll go out again for another call to artists for the fall winter.
Okay.
And once we have those banners in our inventory, those will be consistent. Then once that's done, we can expand the banners to perhaps have like Rhododendron Festival banners,
right,
or Wine and Chowder Trail banners.
Right.
And that way we don't have to replace all the banners. Maybe, you know, maybe we replace 2 out of the 6 and we put the other in. And that way you're not looking at the same banner.
Right.
You know, because I think off the top of my head, I think we're looking at between 120 and 150 banners that will be all over town. And eventually we'll be updating the banners then in Old Town also.
Now, the spring and summer campaign, not all 120 banners will be the same, right?
There'll be 6 different banners in that campaign.
So even in a second year, you move them to different spots in the town and people still see different. So it's still viable for that thing.
Yes. We expect it to be a long-term program. And we're hoping that the chamber started off with the tourism, and this is our project. And we're hoping that in the future that we will see like holiday festival. You know, maybe an organization, like, for instance, the high schools with the graduation, maybe they would come and say, hey, chamber, can we have 30 poles? You know, we want to put our graduates up,
right,
or something like that. And that's something that we look forward to being involved with the community in the future of doing and supporting that and making that circle bigger.
Awesome. All right. Let's change gears a little bit while I got you here.
Sure.
While I got you here. Senate Bill 127-2. They had their public hearing this last week, and they kind of laid out the idea of it. What is What does the chamber stand? Just to give people a little bit of background, businesses that received over $100,000 in PPP loans in a single calendar year, the state is going to want, is trying to get them to be responsible for paying taxes on that over and above $1,000. Many of our local businesses were under that amount, but I imagine there was probably a couple within the area or within the general tourism area that were over that. What is the chamber's desire to see happen in that bill?
Our chamber at this point in time does not have an active legislative committee. So our chamber hasn't taken an official position on it. I sit on the Oregon State Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, and that chamber, or the Oregon State Chamber, is very active with the legislative issues. We have a full-time lobbyist that represents businesses across the state. And that position, obviously, the PPP loan that came from the feds was never meant to be taxed.
Right.
It was not. And right now, the state is in an excessively surplus revenue situation between the different AR, what was it, the American Rescue Act funds and the previous other COVID funding. And so the state, Chuck Bill Ted Paul, the state is in a surplus situation to the budget. There's no reason in the world that they need to tax these businesses. I think it's just a money grab. And we don't need the money. The state doesn't need the money. In fact, there's such a surplus that there's actually a concern that when they go to spend this surplus, that they're going to do programs that are going to need to be maintained. And then we're not going to have these stimulus.
We're not going to have them the next couple of years to continue these.
We're not going to have the stimulus funding. And so then they're going to say,
it's not
okay.
Potholes and cracks in the roadway. Or, you know, who knows?
Who knows? So it's a legitimate concern that they're going to want to spend this, and that it's not going to be a one-time spend. It's going to be programs that they're going to be looking for to continue. But then where's that revenue going to come from to continue the programs? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of concern from businesses. It appears that our current legislature looks to business as a money source. And I think that if we're not careful, we're going to look a lot like California, where the businesses are leaving because it's such an unfriendly business environment. And that's a very concerning.
Yeah, a lot of businesses, large businesses, loggers, stuff, have already been taxed with a significant amount of tax over and above what they would normally pay.
Well, they just launched the corporate activities mm-hmm. tax.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these people, and that corporate activities tax is taxed on your income, not on your profit. Yeah. So, you know, let's say, for instance, you're a business that's operating on 2% profit, like some businesses do, you know, and all of a sudden now they're going to come in and take that. So what's going to happen? Prices are going to go up or services are going to go down. You know, it's got to come from somewhere. And I think that from a legislative perspective, we need to be looking at our businesses and being grateful for what they do, not punishing them for taking the risk and the endurance that it takes to be a business owner.
Right. Now, Lane County tourism and hotels and stuff like that, like you said, they get a certain amount of money. There's a certain amount of taxes that go in when you rent a room. In cities like Portland, you know, you rent a room for a night that's $176. You have an additional $100 and some that you're paying in
fees. Is it that
much? Yeah, it's that much. And I was wondering, you know, are they trying to make up for that corporate activities tax, or who knows?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. In fact, we're going up to Portland because we're going to go see Andrea Bocelli.
Just to let you know, we experienced that over this past weekend.
Wow. And
that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Because I said, oh, that's a great price for that. You know, 4-star hotel.
Yeah,
you go
nice.
In there. And then you turn around when it gets the bill, you go, oh, this is your supplemental fees.
We had that happen one time. We rented a Corvette convertible in Las Vegas, and I think it was like $400 a day to rent it. And then we went to check it. You know, we went to pay for it, and it was another $200. Yeah. And it was like, holy smokes. It was kind of like, well, that was more than we thought it was going to be. So,
right. Well, I got you here. Let me ask you one more thing, and this might be more uncomfortable than the rest of them. Talk to me about the thoughts behind the cancellation of the fireworks. People I've talked to want to know why that happened, especially with things seemingly like they're getting better. And I know a lot of it has to do with planning, but let me.
You know, it's the seven P's, right? Proper, prior, planning, prevents, blank, poor performance, right? And I think there's a lot of moving parts that go into this that other people aren't aware of. The port is an agency. The chamber is a membership organization. We have to remember this is a very litigious society. And if the best way that we can save ourselves and from having that litigiousness come home is by following the guidance. So, for instance, if Joe's Pie Shop decided to go out and say, hey, you know, I'm not going to follow the rules and it's only going to affect Joe's Pie Shop and their employees, where if it's the chamber organization and we were to be sued, that would probably be devastating. The port also. So the port and the chamber worked together to do the 4th of July fireworks. Historically, the chamber has paid for the fireworks out of chamber funds. They don't come out of the room tax funds, generally speaking. And so the chamber has to follow these guidelines. It's not that the board met and discussed it. We looked at it. Right now, we are still in high risk. We're looking at, a month away? Mm-hmm. Do we really think things are going to change? So
certainly, we hope they do.
We hope they do. But right now, we're at 62% vaccination rate, and it has to be 70% statewide. You look at the vaccination rates down in the Southern Oregon area, and they're like 35%. Yeah. So I don't know. We're not completely confident in making that kind of a decision. The governor's office has not been reliable in what they've done. And so it's very difficult to predict anything that comes from there. And the liability exposure is huge if we're not going to follow the guidance. So we have to follow the guidance. It's not fun, believe me, to be, I'm still pulling arrows out of my backside. Mm. So, and I'm pretty thick skinned and I'm frustrated.
Right.
So the money that we spend on this, the chamber usually spends around $18,000. It's a big spend. So let's say, for instance, that we go ahead with it, and then we're looking at the end of June and nothing's changed, and we have to cancel it. Now we're going to lose that money, or a portion of it anyway. And then what about all of the people that are planning on coming over here for 4th of July? They're packing up their babies and they're making their family plans and they're coming over here. And then we go, oh, sorry, canceling. So then there's that expectation that we've really affected our tourism visitors with that level of disappointment. And the port went to their attorney and their insurance and said, what's it look like if we do this event? What's our risk factor? It's not good for any of us. So, we'll just see what happens. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. If something changes, maybe we'll see if we can change, if we can pull something out of the hat. We don't know.
Yeah. But again, like I said, a lot of planning goes into that.
It's a lot of planning and it's not as much planning as say something like the parade, for roadie days. But it is expensive and it's difficult. The chamber, we wear the two hats. One is our economic development stability. And believe me, from a chamber perspective, I don't want to not do 4th of July fireworks. It's good for business.
Yeah.
It's good for business.
So is there any way that, next year we have a $54,000 fireworks display?
That we kick it down the road.
I'll take all 3 years, kick it down the road.
Well, unfortunately, the chamber has lost a lot of revenue in the last couple of years. No carnival our other fundraising events. And so that's one of the things we are doing on August 21st. We're doing the cornhole tournament. And that's going to be super fun down on the boardwalk.
And you can do that socially distanced.
We can do that. And Lord, please let us be done with this social distancing by August. And be it our 70% maybe,
But get your shots.
So it'll be outside. So we'll have a vendor fair, live music. It'll be an all-day event. It's a family-friendly event. It'll be a fundraiser for the chamber. And so that we can keep doing what we're doing.
All right. Well, I think I got about everything out of you that I could think to.
Well, thanks for letting me talk to you and get the word out to the community. And, we're doing the best we can with what we have. Yeah. People expect us to go out there and be maverick. And I don't think that that's what we...
we don't want to be goose either.
Right.
Did you get that reference, everybody?
Don't want to crash and burn.
No.
So.
All right. Bettina, thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
to finish up our June edition of Our Town, we're going to speak with Colin Morgan from the Florence Food Share that just reopened Tuesday. We'll see what the plans are for the future.